Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, The Glorious, Exciting, Good Plan of God. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
And how is God able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think? According to the power that works in us. And you are in the right place this week to get the power working in you and to get it cranked up and increased. Because the more power working in you, what does that translate to? What does that translate to? Him able to do exceeding abundantly. And then what if even more power is working in you, that he's able to do a whole level of exceeding abundantly above that level? And he never runs out. The limiting thing is what's working in you. What is working in us? Back up to the first chapter and get a key of what kind of power he's talking about working in you. He prayed in chapter 1 and verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Does the hope of the calling, is it connected and joined to the riches of the inheritance? And is that part of the exceeding greatness of his power? Go with me to Romans 15. The hope of his calling. What we're talking about now is the power of hope. The power of hope. Now, I know that sounds strange to dyed-in-the-wool Word of Faith people. They've been taught to rebuke hope. But again, not really. Not Bible hope. It's people calling desire hope. And it's some confusion there. But no. All you got to do is go back to this. When the Lord, by the Spirit, said through Paul, "Now abide these three," out of all the things he could have said. What's mentioned with faith and love? What's in there right there with them? Must be important. So don't despise it. Don't make light of it. Don't make little of it. If you're going to come up to the next level, you got to embrace the power of hope. What is hope? Help me out. Confident expectancy. Expectation. Expecting. Now, if you're expecting something bad, how will it affect you? It'll make you sad. Right? Make you down. Make you scared. Talking about something hasn't happened yet, but you believe it's on the way. Makes you hide. Not go out of the house. Cry. Feel sad. Can we tell what you're expecting by how you're acting? Yeah. What if you're expecting something good? What if you're expecting something amazing? Something life-changing, wonderful, glorious. Does that affect you? Does that affect you? Even if you hadn't been feeling too hot before that, you find out it's coming. Ooh, makes it hard to sleep. Why? Because you get excited. Now, this is a word I want you to become very familiar with over the next few days. I said you get
excited.
You'll get excited. Excited. Why? Why are you excited? Because you are expecting something good. Now, if you had no reason in the world to expect this great thing to happen except somebody told you that it was, wouldn't that be faith? Yes. You just believe what they told you and went ahead and got excited with no physical evidence or assurances whatsoever. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. The Lord showed me this some, I don't know, what, 25 plus years ago, I guess, in healing school that I was talking about earlier. He began to show me things because I'm very young, and when you're young and inexperienced, you can allow people to intimidate you, that you are supposed to have more experience and more knowledge and understanding. And I'm young and in every way, and I'd ministering to people that had been partners with Brother Hagin for 20 and 30 and 40 years at that time. And I'm there to minister to them. They come because they're sick. And I said, you know, praise God. The Bible said, 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes, you were healed. And they'd look at me and say, yeah, sonny, I know that. And they'd quote two or three more, Isaiah 53 and Psalm 103. And they'd say, yeah, you know, I was supporting Brother Hagin's ministry while your mama was a-changing your diaper. I thought, oh, what now? So then I'd look for some new verses that maybe they hadn't found. Maybe they didn't know. And surprise them, you know. And no, they knew them too. And but then after we get through reading the verses, they start crying about how hard it had been and how bad their body hurt and how the doctor said it was no hope and hopeless. And one afternoon, the Lord showed me. He said, son, you do not need to find a new scripture. There's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody on the planet simultaneously. You need to find a new verse. He said, but if somebody tells you their problems and you tell them what I said in my word about it and they're still depressed, it shows they don't believe it. If somebody's crying about not being able to pay their bills and not knowing what to do, and you tell them, Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and they just reach for another tissue and keep crying and tell you how bad it is, He said it proves they don't believe it. Because if they believed it, they'd quit being sad and they'd begin to expect their needs to be met. Oh, come on, can you see this? So we got all kind of people that know scriptures and can quote scriptures, but that doesn't mean you believe them. We've got people that the devil has duped, even in the ministry, and they're not enjoying life. They're just drudgery. And they dread. Now, this is sad. Preachers who dread Sunday morning because they dread going to the pulpit and preaching. Well, it's no wonder the congregation's not excited. And you shouldn't expect to grow leaps and bounds when the pastor don't want to go to church. Now, if we paint your picture, don't get mad. Don't scowl, because then everybody will know it's you. They go, oh, look how mad he is. She is. No, look straight ahead and smile and go, glory to God. Amen, brother. Somebody needs to hear that. Nobody need know. It applies to you. I know I was teaching on praise, and they gave me a praise life class at Rhema one year, and I was preparing for it. And I saw praise and worship is something the Lord will receive from us. But it's not just the noise or sounds or hitting the right notes that pleases Him. He hears the heart, doesn't He? And I was looking at several aspects of it and studying the Psalms and just preparing for it. And the Lord spoke, sitting at my desk one day. He spoke to me in my heart. He said, son, talking about praise and worship. He said, if you're not enjoying it, don't assume I'm getting a lot out of it. Well, think about it. What if somebody came up to you and they said, oh, praise you, you're great. Oh, you're great. You're wonderful. Huh. No, wait, I want to do it some more. You're really, really wonderful. You're really great, really great, really great. You're great, 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 great. If you're not enjoying it, don't assume he's getting much out of it. And that's true with our whole life is to be worship. How many remember Romans 12 talks about present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's your reasonable service. Different translations say worship. Your life is to be worship. But see, it is unacceptable if you are acting like you're being mistreated. Having to serve God makes your service unacceptable. You could put $10 million in the offering, and if you don't want to do it, if you're unwilling to do it, even though you dropped the check, the Lord didn't accept it. The people might have accepted it, but He didn't accept it, because the condition of the heart of the giver is what makes the gift acceptable. And unwillingness will make it unacceptable. That's why God loves a cheerful. Why? Because that's a faith giver, isn't it? Why would money be going away from you and you be happy? Huh? Why? If you just expected to be broker tomorrow than you were today, you wouldn't be rejoicing. But you must be expecting a reward and a harvest in this life and in the next. You must be expecting it'll help them and make a difference with what they're doing, and you'll have a part of it. Oh, friend, it starts and continues and ends with faith, doesn't it? It's faith in the morning, faith in the noontime, faith when the sun goes down, or otherwise it's not going to please the Lord. Well, faith expects. When you really get in faith, you quit being sad. You quit despairing. You quit being depressed. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. I'll say that again. Doubt does what? It despairs. Oh. Complains. Yakety, 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 yak. And is what? So pitiful and sad. Y'all pray for me. Pitiful.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, The Glorious, Exciting, Good Plan of God, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelifenow.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.